Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. This big story in California politics this week was Kamala Harris deciding that she would not run for California governor, which essentially creates the start of an entirely new race for governor. All these candidates have been waiting to hear what she would have to say. And now they're all trying to fundraise, trying to get their names out as we sort of have the field set. Still don't know about Rick Caruso. We also got the fundraising data for the first time in a while on that. And we saw that Stephen Klubeck has the most money. I mean, it helps that he wrote himself a check for $10 million. Stephen Klubeck is this interesting character, businessman, billionaire, longtime Democratic donor, who in a lot of ways is running against the Democratic Party orthodoxy. He's got some big name consultants behind him, people like Frank Luntz, Mike Madrid, people that we've had on the show before. He's spending serious money. He's invested a lot of time in this, and he's an interesting character, whatever you think of him. A lot of you probably haven't heard of him before, or maybe haven't heard from him. So this week, an extensive conversation with Stephen J. Klubeck, and later, a conversation with Ken Martin, the chair of the Democratic National Committee, who's got a more conventional approach to Democratic politics. But let's start with Stephen J. Klubeck, who's got a lot going on. A podcast, the Stephen J. Klubeck podcast, book about hard truths, and now, of course, this campaign for governor. Here he is. Stephen J. Klubeck basically said the announcement was just another Wednesday for his campaign. Here's what Democratic Congressman Eric Swalwell said about Klubeck on his podcast.
To me, one of the most important traits that anyone can have, and it doesn't matter how much money you have, to me, like someone who keeps their word and delivers, that's the highest compliment I can give somebody. And you're always someone that has kept your word. And when others shrink and walk away from the responsibility, you always step up.
That is a clip from the Stephen J. Klubeck podcast on iHeartRadio. This week, he invited all of his fellow candidates to appear on that show. We'll see if anyone does. Klubeck also has this book out, which is called Facing Hard Truths, How Americans Can Get Real, Pull Together, and Turn Our Country Around. Stephen J. Klubeck, welcome to The Issue Is for the first time. Great
Thank
to have you.
You
here.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
And congrats on the book, the podcast, the run, all of it. You're a busy guy right now.
All unexpected. Yeah. All unexpected. This wasn't on my bucket list.
So you're a branding guy. You like to keep things simple and concise. So yeah. Real concise. Why are you running for governor?
Well, I grew up in California and came back to a California that was not what I grew up in, a land of aspiration. People are moving out. California's not open for business. It's not affordable, livable, or workable. And by the way, those are the customer's words of California. And I did my due diligence and listened to the customers of California. And when I found out the CEO of Chevron and the head of the farm workers were saying the same thing, leadership in this state was not listening to its best customers. And I wanted to understand what the real issues in California were, and are there solutions? And they're very uniquely similar to fixing broken companies. Mm. And then I interviewed every single candidate to see what was out there as a donor, because I've been involved 39 years. And I'm saying to myself, which candidate would I trust managing my savings account, our taxpayer dollars? And I couldn't pick one. Mm. And I started to interview each of the candidates, and they didn't understand balance sheet, income statement. They didn't even understand law and order. I want to create a Department of Performance and Results in California. The California Department of Performance and Results, you know what that's called?
What does that mean?
CPR, which we're in desperate need of.
Resuscitation. How would that work?
It's really simple. Give us a return on our investment. We're lawed on lawed on lawed. Okay? We're overregulated. So I'm going to ask the customer of California, what impedes you from doing good business in California? Tell me. And then go collect the money that's owed to us. Where is this homeless money? Where is this EDD fraud money? They want you to forget. I haven't forgotten. It's our money. They think it's their money. Guess what? I'm willing to put a 10% bounty on all that money and give away 10% if we can collect $50 billion. That's $5 billion to the customers of California in their pockets. Tell me where the money is.
Is this sort of like a doge for California?
It's not a doge. It's operating California as it was operated when I grew up here.
Yeah.
With responsibility and respect for one another, the customers of California.
What's the brand for Stephen J. Klubeck for governor? What's the sort of bumper sticker brand?
California Get a Clue. It's kind of kitschy, huh? With the bear in the center moving forward to the right, and you know why? And I'm a Democrat.
Yeah.
I'm a lifelong Democrat. A lifelong Democrat, not a Democrat turned Democrat. No offense.
Rick Caruso.
No offense. He's a friend. We went to high school together.
Okay.
He's a great guy. But look, you are who you are. I'm built on service. I serve. I will ask you what you'd like for dinner. I will cook it for you. I will serve it to you. I'll sit down and learn about what your life's about.
Yeah.
And then I'll pick up the plates.
In Facing Hard Truths, part of the way you start the book off is by talking about the fact that you learned as a busboy, as a child.
Willits, California, 30 minutes north of Ukiah.
You learned
Redwoods.
You basically, that was your first job, right? As a kid.
First job, and I dropped a tray of glasses, and it was docked from my paycheck.
And they took it out of your paycheck, and then you learned about accountability even as a child, probably doing illegal child labor, right?
But I took responsibility.
Yes.
But I bought my first bike.
Yeah. And so you ended up going to the Diamond Resorts, which you
created. Well, there's a history before that. I thought I was going to be a surgeon.
Right. And then you end up...
I end up in real estate. I built shopping centers in my 20s. And I built my first hotel at 29 in Las Vegas for my father. And I built it on time, on budget. And then ended up learning the hospitality business from some of the greats, Stephen Lane Wynn. And I learned business from Mike Milken. I had all these great mentors in my life, and politics and policy from not just Harry Reid, my adopted father, but Bill Clinton.
And so Diamond Resorts sort of, you pioneered this concept of the timeshare and made a whole lot of money doing that. It was incredibly successful. You're a billionaire now. Congratulations on that. And
I don't act like that. I go to Taco Bell.
Yeah. And then you end up on a show called Undercover Boss.
Yeah. I learned a lot.
Where basically the CEO would go and become sort of a regular worker, and people would know that it's the big boss that's working there. You were on that show. And you ended up giving the workers more money than anybody that had ever been on the show before, including this moment where it got emotional.
You told me about that bad business deal you made, and you're hurting. So I'm going to pay off the mortgage. Oh. Diamond Resorts is going to take care of that.
Obviously, you were talking about housing affordability in that Undercover Boss clip, which is the biggest issue in California,
if you actually see it in the polls. It sure is.
So what is the most important thing, most important difference in policy of your governor to make housing more affordable in this state?
We put an emergency declaration in for L.A. and Altadena, for CEQA and the Coastal Commission. I would declare an absolute affordability emergency day one. And I would pause CEQA, Wildlife Species Act, and Coastal Commission, and I would tell the legislator, you got 2 years to come up with something creative and functional to open California back up for business to make it affordable, livable, and workable.
So the whole state.
Because what they've done now.
CEQA's out the whole state. Yeah.
Because right now I want to stabilize business in California and bring back business. I hope to take 39 million customers of California and grow it to 44 million. That's 5 million new customers.
Then you got to have a place for them to live.
That's right.
Yeah.
But we're going to be able to do it because I have paused all these terrible, archaic laws. It's Band-Aids on Band-Aids on Band-Aids. You know these Band-Aids are all bleeding. Let's rip them off and fix them once and for all.
So in terms of homelessness, your plan is to invest in nonprofits like the Dream Center, other places that are doing it well, instead of double down on some of these government programs that are clearly failing.
100%, because that's performance and results. When we start doing that with some great charities, I'm going to look at all the charities in California and certify them. Because the ones that are, you know, taking money and not spending it the right way with the return on investment, they're not going to get certified.
Mm. So,
let's go back to that for a second. Because one thing we're not doing, Democrats, they don't have a woke problem. They got a weak problem. They're all weak.
Mm.
Okay, I got brass balls. You could say that in there, right?
I guess you just did.
Good. So guess what? Because it's true. I'm unapologetic.
What does that mean?
That means I walk the talk and I'm judged on my results. And it's my job to make sure government's off your back and I have your back.
You mentioned Hollywood. And obviously, we've seen so many Hollywood productions going to other states and other countries as well.
True.
We have an investment of $750 million that the California
legislature
just did.
What a joke.
You think that's not enough?
If we were competitive to Georgia with their $1.3 billion incentive or investment in, we could do 9.5 $5 billion. I'm proposing $2 billion. And you know what also I'm providing for? Content creators, because that's the future. So all you content creators out there, you're part of this fund.
Yeah. TikTokers for Klubeck. In terms of the path, who do you see as the toughest competitor? How do you see this going? Is it Katie Porter and you get in the top two?
You want me to assassinate each one of them right now?
I mean, if you want to.
Katie Porter, she's got a whiteboard. She's never signed the front of a check. She's always signed the back of a check. She's a school teacher. She's a legislator. What does she know about running anything? Mm. Antonio Villaraigosa, I mean, the poor guy can't even get a real job after the mayor of a great city. Betty, please, whatever. She's not an executive. Atkins, again, not an executive legislator. Becerra, he's a nice guy, but he's unforgettable. I mean, forgettable or whatever.
Okay.
Look, Sheriff Bianco, he thinks he's above the law. He's violating Civil Code 3206. And Steve Hilton, well, he just became an American in 2021, and he's great at parliamentary government. Anyone else?
Well, you've said before that if Rick Caruso gets into the race, you and him can't both win.
I think we both kill each other.
So,
I mean, I've been doing this 39 years. And
so if he gets in, do you get out?
I don't get out of anything. I've been studying 16, 17 months.
You want him to run for mayor?
Absolutely, and I would help him. I think he'd be a great mayor.
So we do something on our show called Personal Issues, where we have 30 seconds. This is the first thing that comes to mind in terms of your cultural favorites. So Stephen J. Klubeck, what is your favorite TV show?
It used to be Emergency.
Okay. ER, are you talking about?
No, Emergency. You weren't even born yet.
Okay, favorite movie?
Sin City.
Favorite sports team?
Dodgers.
Favorite band or musician?
Chicago.
And who is your role model?
Oh my gosh. My father.
Your father.
Don't make me cry. Because we come from a lineage of hard workers, and if they could only see what I accomplished, this is crazy.
That's okay. I mean, we love our dads.
And my grandfather. I mean, if my grandfather was alive, boy, he came from Russia. Mm. And to see what our family's accomplished, my father was the first person to go to college. And my grandfather wouldn't believe it. My father wouldn't believe it. My father saw some of it. It was great. When my father died, it was the toughest day of my life.
What do you think they would think of you being potentially governor of the state of California?
They'd think I was out of my mind. But then they would say, everything you've done in your life, you've been out of your mind. Yeah. But they'd be very proud.
And you called Harry Reid your adoptive father. What's the most important lesson you learned from him, the former Senate Majority Leader from Nevada?
Integrity. Don't bust the trust. We are what we say, and we walk the talk, and we fight the good fight. And I'll be here fighting for California, and that's why I'm doing it, because I love my state so much.
And one of the unconventional ways you're running is you created your own theme song.
let me tell you, Jeff Ross, my dear friend, wrote that theme song.
Oh, he did?
He wrote it, and we had it recorded.
Well, let's play it. We can bring it in. This is California Get a Clue, which people can check out on Spotify as well.
Apple, iHeart, it's all over the place. It's kitschy. It's got like that Blink 182 feel.
Thank you so much for sharing your views.
Alex, I appreciate it.
Definitely an interesting conversation.
Always.
Up next, we have the chair of the DNC, who may be a little bit more on talking points than this guy. We'll be right back.
Our thanks to Stephen J. Klubeck and the Get a Clue campaign. Up next is Ken Martin, who is the chair of the Democratic National Committee. He was in East L.A. this week for an event with Hilda Solis, talking to community members, a lot of whom talked about the ICE raids and how they were scared to come out of their homes. But a big reason he came to California is this push over redistricting the state and the fact that they're in this big fight with Texas. So first, a story about that, and then you'll hear from Ken Martin.
Why do you think J.D. Vance is saying that? because they're on the wrong side of the issues right now. Donald Trump is sitting at 37% approval. The Americans have buyer's remorse, people who voted for Donald Trump. They are certainly headed towards a certain election loss next year if this trend continues. And so the only thing they can do, of course, is rig the system, is to cheat, to do a mid-cycle redistricting in states to steal more seats, which is essentially what they're doing in Texas. And as I've said, if Texas wants a showdown, we'll give them a showdown. And the Democratic Party is not going to sit back and just watch this happen.
So if Newsom puts forward a plan, does that have the full backing of the DNC in terms of fundraising, in terms of messaging, in terms of all of your infrastructure?
We certainly will support the governor and California Democrats in whatever decision they make here.
In terms of you talked about President Trump's popularity, Democratic Party even more unpopular. You look at the recent Wall Street Journal poll, the lowest popularity in 35 years, 63% disapprove of what the Democrats are doing. Only 8% strongly approve. What's going wrong?
Well, nothing's going wrong. Let me say,
Nothing's going wrong when you hear those numbers, really?
Yeah, let me say this. If people weren't pissed off and they were comfortable, I'd be a little concerned, to be honest with you. And so the reality is people, we just came off of a really bruising election loss, right? People are frustrated, they're anxious, they're nervous about what's happening in this country, and they want the Democratic Party and our elected officials to do more to fight back. And I get that. I that's why I ran. I didn't run because of this last election loss. I ran because I wanted to make sure that our party wasn't making the same mistake year after year after year.
What is that mistake?
We can't show up 3 months before an election and have the first conversation with voters. And that first conversation being, hey, I'm Ken, I'm from the Democratic Party. I need you to vote for me or our candidates or our party. No, we have to have a conversation now with voters about their hopes, their dreams, eventually move into a conversation around shared values before we ever get into a transaction, before we ever ask them for something. And that's about building a relationship with voters, really connecting in meaningful ways again with communities throughout this country who feel so feel like both parties, frankly, have left them behind.
Love him or hate him, Donald Trump is pretty good at branding and marketing.
Yeah,
and he repeats the same thing over and over again, and then people remember it,
yeah.
Right? What is the Democratic brand? If you had to say it in a sentence, what is the Democratic Party for?
Here's what I would say. Our party believes this. No matter where you're from, where you live, who you love or who you are, you deserve a chance and an opportunity to get ahead in life. It's the American dream. So for us as a Democratic Party, we have to get back to giving people a sense that we are committed to them, their families, and their success. And what does that look like? Well, focusing on affordability, making sure people can afford the cost of their lives, like childcare and groceries and their rent and mortgage and their car payment, right? Making sure that people have access to health care. These cuts right now in this big, ugly bill that just passed to health care, first time ever in American history we're taking health care away from people, are not going to just impact people on Medicaid. There are over 300 hospitals that are likely to close, a quarter of nursing homes that might be shuttered as a result. And the last thing is we're going to be talking about this broken system, this corrupt, broken, and rigged system that favors the wealthiest people in our communities at the expense of hardworking Americans. And you know what? And our tagline is going to be this: you deserve better. Americans deserve better than what they're getting right now.
Real quickly, for people who don't know you,
yeah.
Who are you and why are you a Democrat?
Well, let me tell you, I'm Ken Martin, I'm from Minnesota, and I grew up, I was the oldest son of a single mom who had me when she was 15 years old. She raised four kids by herself and struggled mightily, right? But if it wasn't, as I remind folks, if it wasn't for a government that gave a damn about me and my siblings, I wouldn't be here. I truly am the manifestation of the American dream. I made it. So there's a lot of reasons I'm a Democrat, but at the core of it, I just really believe that everyone should have an opportunity.
This is our 30-second game to just get to know your cultural favorites. We call it personal issues. What's your favorite TV show?
My favorite TV show right now is The Bear.
Oh, great.
That's
on
a great
FX.
Yeah, that's right.
Favorite movie?
My favorite movie of all time is Glory.
Oh, good one. Love Denzel Washington.
Denzel, yeah.
Favorite band or musical artist?
My favorite band of all time is Fleetwood Mac, followed by 311, which is a ska band out of Omaha, Nebraska.
And you see that Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks seem to be talking more and re-releasing
music. I know,
music,
it's crazy, it's amazing.
Which is very
Maybe
exciting.
The spark is back.
What's your favorite sports team?
Favorite sports team is either the Minnesota Timberwolves or the Minnesota Vikings. I'm a huge hoops fan, but I would also say...
No mention of the Twins.
Well, I love the Twins. I'm a big baseball fan too. But what I would also say is I went to the University of Kansas, and I'm a huge basketball fan. So Rock Chalk Jayhawk. There you go.
And lastly, who is your role model?
My first boss in politics was Paul Wellstone, a U.S. senator in Minnesota, who really inspired me into this work. And his famous slogan, of course, I think should be the slogan for the Democratic Party. He said, "We all do better when we all do better." He was just an amazing human who really instilled in me and inspired me to this idea that, you know, politics is really not about special interests or power. It's about improving people's lives. And I just firmly believe that.
Our thanks to Ken Martin, our thanks to Stephen Klubeck, and our thanks to you for listening to The Issue Is. We'll be back next week with more. Hope you like, subscribe, tell people about our podcast, and we'd love to hear from you in social media at Alex Michelson. Thanks so much. See you next week.